Your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We actually are in Galatians, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, where God has established through the Apostle Paul a principle, or rather, he has summarized a principle that has followed all mankind from the beginning of creation to the present day. And that is, God has made us to be faithful to Him. And as a result of His creation and giving us in Adam a mind in His image, in God's image, to love Him and obey Him and to be like Him, the fall of man, the fall of Adam, has passed on to every one of us that sinful nature that is part of the curse for his disobedience. And as a result, we have to come to Christ, the only Savior of the world, for mercy in order to have a life that means anything. A life that brings honor to God, that is not selfish and self-centered and self-seeking. And so, from the fall of Adam to the present day, God has established what he considers are good works. And the principle is this, that whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. That God holds us responsible for what we think and say and do, and will bring us to account one day. For those who sow to themselves, they will reap to themselves. For those who sow to God, they will reap eternal life. And in this passage, we're seeing a short description of the family and what that means in the family. So let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let us pray. We thank you for the word of God that you've given us. Lord Jesus, inspired by your Holy Spirit, that we may know that these are not just the opinions of men, but these are the Holy Spirit-inspired truths of God that we are to give respect to listen to honor, and as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to obey. Help us to understand the magnitude of the truth and the power of the Word of God. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Today is this national day that began 102 years ago, instituted by Woodrow Wilson, to honor our mothers, alive or departed. And even though such a special day is not commanded in the Scriptures, the Bible actually teaches us to honor our mothers every day. Our mothers, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers. It is one of the Ten Commandments to honor our mother. It is just as important to God as you shall not murder, or you shall not kill, or you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall have no other gods before me. It is a command of God that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is called to obey, to overcome sinful temptation, sinful thoughts, sinful words, and insofar as humanly possible, to bring honor and respect to our mothers. It is a good work to do so because it is one of the Ten Commandments, and we've already seen that God defines a good work in the Bible by the commandments of God, not by what we invent or think or create in our minds. A good work is an act by faith in the truth of God and His Word to keep His commandments. This is the very foundation of the Christian life. It's the very foundation of home, of family. And we apply it this morning to honor our mothers. Now, young men and women, as well as those of us who still have fathers and mothers alive, I want to just read to you several proverbs very quickly about what God expects. And when we look at the book of Proverbs, we're looking at the further applications of the Ten Commandments. And they are just as authoritative as the Ten Commandments, because they're the application. And so by faith, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and at His instruction, we look to the Word of God to grow thereby. Proverbs 10:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a father glad. Now, do you sons, are you making your father glad? But a foolish son is a grief to his mother. As a pastor, I have seen the grief of a mother over a child. The tears that roll down her face, the broken voice which she can barely speak or pray. Because some son or daughter has rejected her, refused to listen to her, rejected her God and the life that she has tried to teach in spite of her faults to her child. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. And that word despise is more than have hard feelings for or inward feelings for. It's a lack of due respect in front of others to one's mother. How it grieves me when I see today young children being raised and the mother is there, and it's as if the mother is the servant of the child. Now, mothers are to serve their children in the ways that God has commanded. But to become the servant of a child is to disobey God. Because she's called to be a mother first. And to serve their child by obeying the commandments of God and how to raise a child. Proverbs 20:20, he who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. That means there's consequences. Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. That God knows our thoughts, God knows our words, and he is a just God and an omnipotent, almighty God who will bring to account every thought, word, and deed that we've had. In this life or the next. Proverbs 30, verse 11. There's a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. And what that means is that there is the kind of man who curses his father in his mind, his thoughts, his words, or his deeds toward his father, and a man who does not bless his mother, does not outwardly bless her and thank her for the mercies and the goodness that she's shown to him as we bless God for his goodness to us, who verbally does not say to his mother, thank you, I thank God for you, I have been blessed by your life. See, these are commands of God. These are not options and the result of psychobabble. This is the way to love your father and your mother of any age. Proverbs 30, verse 7, the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. That's a very graphic warning. Not to honor a father or mother, to mock a father or to scorn a mother, to use ungodly words to her. The ravens will pick out, the young eagles will eat. Because God rules over all things. And whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Listen to your father, Proverbs 23:22, who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. It is such a blessing when I see older children try to care for their mothers and their fathers when they get old. It's beautiful. It's a work of God, a testimony of grace, but how sad, how grievous when children abandon their parents in old age and will not care for them as they should and encourage them as they can. Proverbs 23:25, let your father and mother be glad and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. So there is a solemn obligation and command to every Christian child, every child, but especially a Christian child, to honor your mother, to remember what she has done and how God has chosen her to be the one to bring you life in this world, to be the one who has first cared for you and raised you as a child and used all of her time and energies, sometimes to the point of physical collapse, to raise you. Now, it is true that there are mothers who have not been faithful to God's word in how they raise their children. But the odd thing about this commandment is there's no distinction of that in the commandment. That we're called to honor our father and our mother in order to obey God. And it's not our choice to do differently. So do you see what this is saying? That you and I are to trust in God and honor him by listening to and submitting to our mother's voice and instruction insofar as it is biblical. It is as it is right. And that you should seek out the counsel of your father and mother even as an adult. If their words were true when they were raising you as a child, how is it that their words are wrong now that you're an adult? It's a very tense thing when you have adult children as a parent, and you see in their life the need to turn to Christ, the need to repent of a sin, the need to look to God's Word to build their lives. And as you approach that child and try to say something, they say, "Oh, I don't want to hear that stuff from you." You see, that child has no right to do that. And it creates a difficult situation for a parent who's trying to obey the Lord and teach their children the ways of God, and their children have no respect for their parents. God has chosen what parents you have, and as a result, you must trust Him and honor them as He has commanded. Sometimes there are parents that make it almost impossible to honor them. It is possible to have a parent who is ungodly and refuses to even accept the ministry of a child or the words of a child or even the prayers of a child for them. But insofar as possible, God calls us to keep praying, to keep serving, and to keep honoring them as a witness to the unchanging, persevering love of God to us. So the real problem in not honoring your father and mother in the ways that we've mentioned is really your love for Christ. One of the things that I try to teach young men in terms of pastoring is that when they enter into a counseling situation, or it really should be called a pastoring situation, with a young couple or someone who's in trouble in the family or just needs advice and counseling, you've taught them over and over, perhaps, the Word of God and what God has called Christians to live by. And for one reason or one manufactured reason or another, they can't quite do that. Then you know something about them. The problem is not themselves and their ability. The problem is not the other person and their acts. The problem is that individual's love for Jesus Christ. That's the problem. A refusal to bow to His will, a refusal to trust Him more than themselves. For Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And that's what we're dealing with here in terms of motherhood this morning. Now, there's a couple of things I want us to do this morning in regard to the preparation of a young woman to be a godly wife and mother, and then secondly, what should she do as a wife and mother when God has so blessed her? So first, let's look at what God's will is for women to prepare themselves to be a good mother. And there are just two things I want to mention this morning. The first one is this: you cannot be a good mother unless you come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and seek to be a faithful Christian first. The best preparation to be a good mother is to follow Christ as Lord in your life now. It's not about reading magazines and trying to figure out what kind of man you want to marry or how to attract such a man to marry and all these kinds of things that we see. But rather, it is to be a Christian and act like it. She comes to Christ as Lord and seeks to be a faithful Christian, loving Him and studying His commandments so that she knows how to apply them in her life, in the way she treats God and the way she treats her neighbor. Because it is such a woman who becomes the kind of mother that blesses her children. This is the number one priority for every woman, young or old, married or not. That you cannot be a good wife or mother unless you're, first of all, a faithful Christian. Whatever your age or situation, such a woman does not allow the pressures of life, the influence of friends, even Christian friends, or her co-workers, not even the one that may be courting her or marrying her, she does not allow any of those people to interfere with her loving Christ and keeping His commandments. It is in keeping of His commandments there is great reward. It is in keeping of His commandments that you become Christ-like, loving God, loving your neighbor as yourself, loving other Christians as Christ first loved you. And that's the most important thing in any young woman's life. And we become sidetracked by friends and co-workers and even family that put the pressure on to do this or not do that. But God is the Lord of our conscience. And it is the young woman who loves Christ and seeks to build her life upon what He has commanded the Christian to do, to love, to forgive, and to serve others as He's first done that to them. To honor His commandments in her life, that she finds the will of God for her life. And she also believes in following Christ first and always, that she already has a bridegroom. And I wish every young woman could understand this and believe this. That to have Jesus Christ as the lover of your soul, the one who has gone to the cross because He first loved you when you were unlovable, the one who has suffered upon the cross in behalf of yourself for your sins, which He carried in His body, all the fear, all the anger, the bitterness, that He carried upon Himself the violation of the commandments that He's given because He loved you as a bridegroom loves a bride and is willing to do absolutely anything for her good at the full sacrifice of Himself. Such a young woman who has a bridegroom who loves her so well and whom she trusts in and believes in already has the blessings of life, now and forever. For it is that bridegroom who, after a few years, will invite her to sit down at table at the marriage supper of the Lamb and bring her into His fold for an eternal life together. And the proof of His love and the trustworthiness of His commandments and wisdom for you is the cross, where we see the love of God incarnate, crucified for us, where we see all the commandments that we have broken, atoned for in His broken body, where we see the unselfish love of a bridegroom for a bride, the model of every man to love his bride. And to have such a love at the beginning of one's Christian life and to to revel in that love, to believe in His presence, to know that He knows you and that He desires you to be at His side one day. Protects a young woman from her own fears, from the wrong advice of others around her, and of prematurely giving herself as a wife to a man who is not Christ-like himself. By faith, we live in Christ. By faith, we walk in Christ. By faith, we believe in the love of Christ. And especially as young women, her heart fulfillment is in Christ. And that alone prepares her to have the wisdom, the patience, to seek only a man who is like Christ. So a Christian young woman has a full life now with Christ, and if she doesn't think she does, then Christ is not yet enough for her. There's something she's missing about the love and the joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control of such a man who daily lives with her and calls her to rejoice in his love. That is why you can't be a good mother unless you first love Christ. The second thing that a young woman must do to prepare herself to be a good mother is to love the things that Christ loves. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're coming not only to one who has died and made atonement for our sins, but who has given instruction and commandments about how his followers are to live. And one of the major things, besides the Ten Commandments and his new commandments that he has given, and the commandments of apostles, and how to build a church, how to live a Christian life, one of those great commandments is also to be committed to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I see among young people, even raised in churches today in America, is that somehow when you reach the age of 18, and maybe you go to college or maybe you go to work, somehow the Church of Jesus Christ just doesn't have that much importance anymore. And I say that's a sin against God, against Christ. When Christ himself committed himself to explain why he came, he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." A young person that does not honor Christ's love for the church, that he loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he commissioned his apostles to preach the good news of salvation to every creature, and then baptize those disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to gather them together into churches and teach them all that Christ had commanded them, for a young person to say that's just not that important to me right now at this stage in my life is to disobey God's commandments and to ignore the Lord Jesus Christ and the priorities of your life. There are no ifs to that. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. At the time when young men and young women need the Lord's counsel, the Lord's church, the people that loved them, who prayed for them all their life, that taught them the good news of salvation, that taught them how to live for Christ, at the time that they need those gifts that God has given them the most, is often the time they abandon them and say, I will rule my own life and make my own decisions without any input from anybody else. And that's sinful. The Lord's Day is still the Sabbath day of rest and worship for young people as well as older people. The fellowship of the people of God and those who prayed for you and taught you is needed more than ever before you marry and while you're a young woman. The responsibilities of the Lord's Day to attend the meetings of the church, to minister to others in that church of which they are a part, is greater than anything else you're doing in life. Because the Lord Jesus has given us priorities in how to build our lives, to love Him and keep His commandments, to build His church, to minister to those in the body, to pray for, to serve, to help, to comfort, to love one another. And the young person that abandons those commandments of Christ, when they've reached of age that they feel like they are entering into adulthood, are disobeying Christ, and they will reap what they've sowed. For whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. And I call all of you young men and women to understand the Lord Jesus knows what He's talking about, of what is best for you. And He proved it on the cross when He was nailed to the tree, not just for the suffering of man, but to bear the wrath of God, an eternity of hell that you and I would experience if we did not repent and humble ourselves in obedience to our God. He bore that in His body on the cross for those who call upon Him for salvation and help. His love is immeasurable. His humility is a mystery in its depth. His concern for your soul cannot be measured. His delight in His people as a bridegroom delights in a bride is so precious and so full and so true that you'll never experience it on earth from any other human being. And it is your belief and faith in this one who has loved you and given Himself up for you to bring you to His side for eternity that keeps your heart faithful, loving Him, keeping His commandments, no matter what pressures you have from the outside or what confusion you have from the inside. Thus saith the Lord is all that you need to know to live, to be blessed, not to earn salvation, but to be guided by Jesus Christ into the paths of righteousness. To minister to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a high calling for a young man or a young woman. And these two things, they are to pursue long before they even think about the possibility of marriage or having children or being a good mother. For it is in loving Christ and keeping His commandments and committing yourself to join with Him in building His church that you become the kind of woman who can be a good mother. The second thing I wanted us to look at briefly this morning is what are the good works of a believing mother, of a Christian mother? What are the good works that she does? And there are four things that I want to mention quickly, but as we've been studying good works and applying them now to motherhood, I want to remind you of what Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:9 and 10 as he spoke to Timothy about teaching women. He said, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works." In other words, quit thinking about adorning yourself with these things so much, and rather adorn yourself with good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. A life of good works is the calling of every woman. The first good work that I believe the Scripture has for a Christian woman after those commandments are learned and kept, after the commitment to love Christ and His church and to minister to it, when a Christian woman marries only in the Lord, she is commanded to be a faithful wife to her husband, never neglecting this calling. And especially, and this is one of the dangers in our society today, of transferring her love from her husband to anyone else, including her own children. Sometimes a marriage is difficult. Sometimes husbands and wives lose heart, and they diminish in their love for one another, though a Christian can never diminish in loving one another. But in a sinful attitude of some kind, they transfer their attentions and their efforts toward their children and away from their spouse. And this is sin, because God has called particularly a young woman to use her life to bless her husband along with her children. In Titus 2, 3 through 5, Paul told Titus to teach the older women likewise to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, and teaching what is good, or to be good teachers, actually, so that they may encourage the young women to do what? To love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Do you see what Paul is saying here? A young woman is to love her husband and her children, not one or either, but both, so that the word of God will not be dishonored, so that the name of Christ will not be shamed by her behavior at home with her husband or with her children. A wife or mother must not yield to the temptations that are out there in this world. To set her affections and her attention on things other than a full attention upon her husband and a full attention upon her children. To use her life as Christ loved her and gave himself up for her. That's what it means to be Christ-like for a mother and a wife. To be like him in his total dedication to blessing the other. To be willing to suffer persecution and anguish for doing what is right. To love Christ and keep his commandments toward these others that she has committed herself to. Because she is commissioned to be a missionary of Christ, that his word may not be dishonored. to all that are in her circle of influence. And it is a calling that is as glorious in God's eyes as the greatest preacher that ever walked the face of the earth, or the greatest missionary who has ever served in a foreign place. Because to invest your life to bless one person, your husband, or your children, several persons, is Christ-likeness at its highest level. To be so concerned for the soul of a man or your children that you pray for them, that you speak with the tongue of kindness, that you overcome your fears and obey the Lord in His commandments, is the kind of life that brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ and is an example to children. To the young girls, to be the kind of woman that you need to be, the kind of wife that you need to be, the kind of mother you need to be, and to the sons, to teach them what is a godly woman. So there's so much that a Christian mother does that has eternal consequences and brings glory to Christ. But she must not allow herself to bring shame to the Word of God. For our Lord stood before the world upon a cross and bore our shame for us. And we cannot bear shame for Him. We cannot bring shamedness upon His name in the home or in the world. It's about loving Christ first, most, and always, and keeping His commandments. This is the first good work of a mother. For you cannot be a good mother to your children unless you are a good wife to your husband. And even if he is disobedient to the Word of God, to conduct yourself in such a way that your children can see your faith in Christ and your trust of God in the most difficult of moments. I'm going to be quick now finishing up here, but the second thing that a good work that a Christian mother is called to do is to actively teach her children about the God of the Bible, His commandments and how to live, and the Lord Jesus Christ who has come for us. Proverbs 1:8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Mothers are called to teach their children the Word of God. They're called to teach about God's nature and His character, the amazing God that we have, to teach about His moral nature, that the Ten Commandments are a reflection of what God is like, to love God, to love your neighbor, and to teach the cross of Christ, where the smallest child must understand that when they ask forgiveness of God in a prayer, they have need of one to intercede for them. That the Lord Jesus came to die for sinners, to remove their reproach, and to grant them forgiveness from God. It is these efforts of the teaching of a mother that enables her children to learn what is necessary for their own eternal salvation. Paul told Timothy, "I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." These were women of faith. And Timothy did not have a believing father, but he had a believing mother and grandmother, and they taught him the Word of God, and they taught him how to memorize it, which was the technique in those days of teaching children. They explained the Word of God to him. And so Paul told Timothy, as a young pastor, here's what you're to do. In 2 Timothy 3:14, you continue in the things which you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The first time Timothy ever heard of a holy God was from his grandmother and mother. The first time he ever heard the Ten Commandments was from his mother and grandmother. First time he ever heard about his sin and the need of a perfect Savior was from their lips. And the first time he ever learned the scriptures of the Old Testament and the history and the stories of the Old Testament that kept pointing to Jesus Christ to be born in Bethlehem was from their lips. And when the Lord saved Timothy in Acts 16, and he became the traveling companion of Paul, all those years of teaching and instruction and pleading and probably spanking that he learned the Word of God came to full bloom in this young man to become not only a traveling companion of Paul, but the most trusted person that he would send to minister to the people of God. All began with his mother and grandmother. The high calling of motherhood cannot be understated. When I entered the gospel ministry by God's kindness and patience and everything else, the thought that was in my mind was that if I could use my whole life and see just one person come to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, my life would have been far worth it. Whatever sacrifices, whatever trials, because that is the value of one eternal soul. And that's the same calling as a mother. To use up her life, to see her children call upon the name of the Lord. A good mother uses the rod in reproof with her children while raising them. And I don't have time to go into all of that, but there's a good book about that called Don't Make Me Count to Three. And I have a feeling most of us here understand what that means. That we are commanded by God how to raise our children. It's not our option to teach and correct and to discipline. Not our option. What to do, what for, and how to do it. And then finally, a good mother teaches her adult children the things of God. And this is, young people, I don't know what to say to you about this, except the Bible commands you from the book of Proverbs to listen to your father and mother when they're old. Not just when you are little, but to remember the words and teachings of your father and mother into adulthood and to continue to grant them honor, to seek their advice and counsel. Sometimes the arrogance and pridefulness of youth, of wanting to make their own way in the world, to do their own thing, to build, and I'm just going to say it as kindly as I can, a life of self-importance motivated by pride rather than submission to God, will tempt a young person to no longer seek or listen to the counsel of their parents. And this is a sin against God. It's a sin against Christ because he had to die for the pridefulness of youth. And our refusal to listen to God or man whom God has given us. You can't be a good mother to your children unless you love Christ, love his church, love your husband, and keep his commandments in how to raise children. And the amazing thing is that the woman of Proverbs 31 did all that as the base for how she managed the home. And husbands need to understand that that's the calling that God's given to your wife. Not for you to micromanage everything, but to give her the freedom to build the home for God's glory and to benefit you and the children. And she even bought property and planted a vineyard and made belts for the tradesmen. She did things outside the home as well. Because her husband trusted in her that she loved God and was seeking to do all that she did for his glory. And her children rose up and blessed her for being such a good mother. Well, honest Christian mothers usually will say, "Have you been a good mother?" And they'll say, "I've tried to be. There's so many things I would like to do over if I could. If only I could start over from what I know now and raise them in the Lord like I should have. And I can just only pray for God to have mercy." Those are the very mothers that we need to give thanks for. That they tried to follow the ways of God. That they did not do everything perfectly, nor would have you. But they still love you and point you to Christ. If you've not been a mother like that, you need to repent today and become a good grandmother like that. Because your life makes a difference on those children. Every word you say, every act you do, they're watching, they're learning. And it's not a fearful thing to encounter. It is a grand opportunity to use your life to bless one soul, to point them to Christ, to show them what it means to live as a Christian who loves God and loves your neighbor in this world. And if you have not honored your mother as you should, you should repent of your stubbornness and pridefulness and go humble yourself before them and ask their forgiveness and seek Christ's strength and the teachings of his word and the grace that he has first shown you in spite of yourself to honor your mother today and every day. For this is the will of Jesus Christ, who honored his imperfect mother, even to the point of death upon a cross. He said to John, "Behold your mother," to make sure she was cared for the rest of her life. In the Bible, every day is Mother's Day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace to us in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of our ignorance, our hard heart, where we would not turn to you. But we thank you that like a mother who comforts her children, so you have picked us up and carried us in your bosom to the cross, where we may see the lover of our soul, our heavenly bridegroom, and our future Lord in the new heavens and the new earth. And I pray that you would help us to be once again overwhelmed by the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, so that you would get rid of pride and ego and stubbornness and self-interest, and make us parents who raise our children in the nurture and discipline of the Lord, and make us children who honor our father and mother. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.